you want to make your way to a seat. Well, I'm excited this morning because we're going to talk about a really great topic this morning. We're going to talk about hope, all right? And where's Hope Petroski? I thought when I said that, this is Hope Petroski up front. I thought she might get a smile on her face when I said we were going to talk about hope. I wanted to share with you just a little introduction here. How many of you have ever heard the name before Nick Vucicic? It's kind of a hard name to pronounce, his last name. But anybody familiar with that name before? A couple of you guys have. Some of you have. Okay. Nick was born in 1982 in Australia, and he was born without arms, and he was born without legs. And he's a Christian, and he travels the world speaking about hope in the midst of hopelessness. And God's given him a platform to do that. And a number of years ago, he was invited to do a TED Talk. And so he came and he spoke on this subject. And so I found a video this morning, a little clip of it that I wanted to show you. It's the audio of him talking with some extra video in between. And I wanted to use that this morning just to get the ball rolling a little bit about as we think about hope. So let's watch this clip. He said there, is it possible to see the finished harvest even when it's not there? And the answer to that question is yes. And we do it by what? We do it by faith. And this morning, I want to spend a little time talking about this subject about hope. Because our world needs hope, right? You need hope. I need hope. And Nick is right when he said that we're all born with difficulties. We're all in this life. Our lives are filled with pain. They are filled with struggle. Every one of us needs hope. I've experienced that in my own life as well. And this morning, we're going to open up our Bibles, and we're going to look and see what the Bible has to say about hope and how God defines hope. And my prayers this morning is that it will be encouraging to you, because God is a God of hope, and we're going to see that in the Bible. And so if you've been here with us for a while, you know that we've been going through this series talking about our mission and our vision as a church and what we believe that God is calling us to do. And so we said scripturally God has called us to fulfill the Great Commission and to the Great Commandment as well. And so we said to hear apart for us, our mission is helping people find and follow Jesus Christ. And then we kind of rounded out the vision for that. And we said the vision is defined as we want to be a gospel-shaped community that glorifies God, that proclaims hope to the world through Jesus Christ, and lives out the gospel by unleashing disciples in our world. And so today I want to talk about this proclaiming hope piece, because it is a great joy for us to be able to proclaim hope to the world in Christ. It's an incredible opportunity that we have to talk about the hope that God offers to the world through Jesus Christ, and why it is our greatest joy to be able to do that as Christians and as a church. And so if you're a note taker this morning, if you want to grab the notes in your bulletin, and simply want to talk about three things this morning. Number one is we want to talk about the fact that God is a God of hope. Okay, we're going to talk about that. That God is a God of hope. Secondly, he is a God who sees. And third, he is a God who makes all things new. And when we consider all these things, my prayer is this morning is that each of us, that God will do a work in our hearts. And that we will walk out of here this morning going, yes, man, it is awesome to be able to proclaim hope to the world because of Jesus Christ. So first of all, let's just talk about the fact that God is a God of hope. Did you know that the Bible says that God is a God of hope? It's interesting. Look at this verse in Romans chapter 15. Paul writes, he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with what? Overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is important because the Bible self-attests. It tells us that God is a God of hope. It tells us that God is a God of hope. So again, I ask you the question, do you need hope this morning in your life? Is there some area in your life where you need hope? Because what I love about the Bible is the Bible acknowledges to us what we already know about life. That life is full of mess. You know, life is full of heartache. And yet God is not blind to our situation. He's not blind to our situation as our creator because of his love. He comes to us as a God of hope in your life. And now if you look at this verse, it tells us that how is it that that comes to pass? If you look at this verse, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you what? What is it that God says to us? He says, if you're going to experience me in your life as the God of hope, what is it that God asks us to do? He asks us to trust in him, to trust in him. What this phrase means in the original language is to think it to be true and to put your confidence in it. To look at God and say, yes, God, I know that you are true, and I'm putting my confidence in you. I'm trusting in you. And then God says, as you trust in him, if I put my trust in him, there's something that God does in your life. He brings joy into your life, and he brings peace into your life. So much so that Paul even writes, he says, that there can actually be this overflowing of hope for you in your situation by the power of the Holy Spirit, God working in your life. Now, I brought something with me this morning as an illustration. I brought this red rope, and I want to talk about why this red rope represents hope this morning from the scriptures, because this is really cool. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and throw this over here so we'll get this up on the wall. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll be around after the service for autographs. This red rope, okay, in the scriptures is a symbol of hope. And I want to talk about that with you this morning, why this is true. Now, we're going to start back in the Old Testament. If you go back and you go back to the early days, in the early parts of the scriptures in the Old Testament, there's a lot of different words for hope. But one of those words is the word in Hebrew, it's called tikvah. Can you say tikvah? Tikvah, okay? You just learned some Hebrew for the day, so you can go home and impress your family. This is an amazing word in the Old Testament that God has given to us as a picture to understand the way that God is a God of hope in your life and in my life. So here's the first place that there's a lot of places you can find this in the Old Testament, but I wanted you to see this next slide. It's here in Psalm 71. The psalmist writes, and he says, for you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. So here the word comes across translated to us as hope. It's tikvah. He says, you have been my hope. You have been my confidence, God. But now we want to go back a little bit further, and we want to look at a different way that this word was used. And that's one of the neat things about the Hebrew language. You have to go back to the book of Joshua. And so you remember the book of Joshua, the story was that Joshua would be leading God's people into the promised land. And it was time, and they were excited, and there was going to be it was going to be great. And so in order for this process to happen, Joshua had to send in two spies. And so he sends in these two spies, and they end up going to the house of this woman named Rahab. And so the king of Jericho, he gets the word that these spies are in the land of Canaan, and he's not happy about this. So he sends his crew out to kind of go and find these guys because he doesn't want them there. And so anyway, Rahab has compassion on these two guys, and she takes them and she puts them up on their roof to hide them. And then these guys come and they say, tell us, you know, tell us where they are. And she's hiding them up on the roof. And she says, well, you know, I think they left and you guys need to go look for them. But one of the amazing things about this story is that this woman, Rahab, scripture tells us that she was a prostitute. And she demonstrated faith in God. Even though she wasn't an Israelite, even though she didn't have Hebrew roots, she says that she believed that the Lord your God is God. She was talking to these two guys, and she expressed faith and she expressed belief in God. And so she recognizes, she says to these guys, look, you know, I know that God has given you guys favor, and I know that your people are coming in here and that they're going to take over this land, and everybody's hearts who lives here is melting in faith. And she expresses faith in God, and she asks these guys a question. She says, would you spare my family? Would you spare me? Would you spare my family? And so what happens in the story is there's this rope, there's this cord that she uses to let them down out of the window and to let them go on their way. And so these guys, these two spies, they look back at her and they say, look, we will do this, but this oath that we're making with you will not be a binding oath unless when we return you have the same scarlet cord hanging from the window. And when we see that, then we will know to spare you and your family. And so this cord, this red rope, represented hope for Rahab. It represented hope. Now, I want to show you something really neat. If you look at this next verse, in Joshua chapter 2, verse 21, agreed, she replied, let it be as you say. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied a scarlet cord in the window. That word for cord is tikvah. It's tikvah. It's the same word. The word literally meant a cord, but it also came to be known figuratively as it meant expectation. It meant hope, something that I long for. What's also interesting is that this word tikvah, it comes from the root word, it means to bind together. It means to bind together. Is this rope behind me, is this cord, is it bound together in any way? It is. Just like the individual threads of a rope bound together make it strong, to provide a sense of hope when you use a rope, right, to hold up your weight, to pull you along, what God does in hope is he binds you to him in hope. God binds you to him in hope because his hope is strong. The thing that came to my mind was, how many of you have ever been on a high ropes course? Anybody ever done that before? We've taken many students over the years to Lake Ann, or if you've been a part of youth ministry, you know, in the past, as I have, and you take them. And whenever you get up on a high ropes course, the thing they always ask is, will this rope hold me? You know, because they're afraid. I mean, you're 40 feet up in the air, and you're asking them to strap themselves to this and to go across the zip line and go 50 feet, and they think, will this rope hold me? You know? And I know at Lake Ann, one of the things they tell the campers all the time is they say, this rope that you're looking at can hold 5,000 pounds. It's rated to hold 5,000 pounds. So you can trust it to hold you. And this is the image that God is trying to give us this morning. He's trying to say, look, put your hope in me, because I can bind you to me in hope. It's a powerful, powerful illustration. The visual that God gives us is so powerful because not only can a bound cord not only be seen with our eyes, but it's something that you can grab hold of with your hands. And what God is trying to say to us this morning is that hope is something real. It's something that you can cling to. Hope is never out of reach. I want to show you another verse in the Old Testament. This is really cool. Isaiah 61, verse 1. This is the same verse that, if you remember when Jesus was in the temple and he was reading out of the book Isaiah and he was teaching. This is in Luke chapter 4. This is what he read. And so he reads this, and this is what it says. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from the darkness for the prisoners. This word here, bind, guess what word it is in Hebrew? It's tikvah. It's the same word, okay? Jesus identified this as the purpose of his life. He comes and he says, the purpose of my life is to bind up the brokenhearted, to bind you up when you are broken, to bring hope into your life, to be that cord of hope. Rather than being alone, you are bound together with God, and you find strength in Him. In the same way that if you look at this rope, if you were to take it apart, it's a bunch of individual strands that are put together to make it stronger. Hope in my life is found in being bound with Christ. Hope in your life is found in being bound with Jesus Christ. That's what God is trying to say to us through this. It's amazing. And the God is a God of hope who has extended Himself to us, a lifeline of hope. So let me ask you this morning, because this is exciting. There's pain, and there's heartache, but on the other side, there's hope. There's hope. And so I just want you to think this morning, where is it in your life right now that you need some measure of hope? Where is it that you need hope in your life this morning? Because the Bible is screaming to us, God is saying to us off the pages of Scripture, God is in the business of bringing healing and redeeming broken situations and bringing wholeness back to them in His name. And all we need to do is grab on to the rope. All we need to do is trust Him, as it says in the Scriptures. And so, I think about this, and I've watched God do it. I've watched Him do it in my own life. I've watched Him do it in the lives of others. He heals broken hearts and broken relationships. He gives victory over our struggles, over our addictions, over the inner things that we wrestle with. And God can bring joy, and He brings peace into your life in the midst of whatever trial it is that we're facing. He does it. But most importantly, He heals us by offering forgiveness to us for our sins. He offers forgiveness to us. There's no wrong that we have ever done that cannot be forgiven at the foot of the cross. And so you look at this rope, and this was the best rope I could find at Lowe's. I was looking for an all red one, but I couldn't find one, so you have to work with me here. But what color is it? Right? It's red. It's scarlet. That was the color of the rope that Rahab used in the window. That's significant. It's significant because it points to Jesus. It points to Jesus. Jesus is our scarlet hope. Jesus said that He came to bind up the brokenhearted. He has come to be our hope. And our hope is in the scarlet red blood, which Jesus shed on the cross to be a payment for all of our sin, so that my relationship with God could be restored, so that it could be fixed, and so that the power of God could flow through my life, and so it could flow through your life. God did this in love. He did it in love for you. He shouts from the mountaintops, and He says, I am a God of hope for you. I want you to know that, God is saying. I am a God of hope for you. I love you. I sent my Son to restore the brokenness in your life, the brokenness that comes from sin. And so, God is just so good. He is so good. And, I jotted some notes down here, too. I want you to know, as your pastor, God has done this in my life in amazing ways. I can remember being a kid and being in church and, teenager and being a kid and looking at the pastor in a church and being thinking, oh, wow, that's the pastor, He's like, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, and then the pastor, And sometimes we just get these, we get these things, at least I did anyway, we kind of think, well, they're not human and they're not real, but we are, and I am. And, I will always try and be vulnerable with you, and I will always try and be honest. And I want you to know that God has done these same things in my life. If you could have known me and interacted with me for longer than what you've known me already, I guess I could just say, you would see how God has changed me, how the power of Christ has changed my life, and how the things in my life, the things where I had pride in my heart, and the pleasures of the world that I sought after to satisfy me, or whether it was the lust in my own heart, or whether it was my desire for popularity or power or whatever it was. You would sit there and you just go, wow, like, you are a testimony of God's grace. And just like you all are. And this is what God does. This is what Jesus does. He is a God of hope. There is nothing in your life that God cannot restore, that God cannot step into and be powerful in your life. And I want to ask you, do you believe that? Do you believe that? Because he is a God of hope. And I also want to encourage you to remind you this morning that it's awesome for us to be a church to be able to proclaim hope, because not only is God a God of hope, but he is a God who sees. He is a God who sees. Oftentimes, people lose hope because they feel alone, right? Sometimes we just feel alone. Sometimes we get to a place in life, we feel like nobody understands our pain or nobody really knows what we're going through. But God's word tells us that God is a God who sees. He sees. And we find this in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis. If you remember, God had promised that Abraham, God was going to turn his life into a great nation. And out of him, you know, through his descendants. But many years went by, and Abraham had no kids. No kids. And so he's getting frustrated. And him and his wife, Sarah, they're talking. And so finally, Sarah comes to him one day and says, look, why don't you just take my maidservant, Hagar? Why don't you just, you know, go be with her, have some children? And then that's what they did. And so out of that comes this child born named Ishmael. But then if you know the story, Sarah and Hagar, Sarah starts to feel really down on Hagar, and she's kind of picking on her all the time, and there's this bitterness that develops. And so Hagar, she can't take the stress anymore. And she's just trying to probably just be obedient in the process to what, you know, her master has asked her to do. And so she can't take the stress anymore, and so she hightails it out of there, and she runs away. And she's feeling completely broken, but God sees her. And so this is what the scripture says. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was that spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? I am running away from my mistress, Sarai, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count. And then verse 13, she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. God wants us to know that he always sees us. He sees you. He sees every detail, everything that's going on in your life, and he cares. And so I ask you, what is it that maybe you're going through this morning? Have you considered that God sees it and he has compassion on you? He has compassion on you. You are not alone. He sees and he cares. I wanted to share this with you this week. As I was reading through Facebook, I came across something that Sandy Mackin actually shared. And it was a devotional from Paul Tripp. And it was a September 5th devotional. And I wanted to share it with you because it fits in so well. This is what he writes. He says, God is able and willing to meet you in your moments of need. Even when that need is self-inflicted, he will never mock you in your weakness. He will not stand idly by and sarcastically say, I told you so. He finds no joy in your suffering. He is full of compassion. He abounds in mercy. He will never walk away disgusted. He will never use your weakness against you. He has no favorites and shows no partiality. He never grows tired. He never becomes impatient. He will never quit because he's had enough. He will never refuse to give you what he's promised because you've messed up so badly. He is just as faithful to all of his promises on your very worst day as he is on your very best day. He doesn't ask you to earn his compassion or do things to gain his mercy. He knows how weak and fickle your heart is, yet he continues to move toward you with unrelenting and empowering grace. He delights in meeting your needs. He finds joy in bringing peace to your heart. He really is everything that you need. Why would you run anywhere else in your time of weakness or trouble? End quote. I'm so encouraged. How about you? I'm so encouraged that when I open this book, it tells me that God is a God who sees. Because there are days when I feel alone. There are days when I struggle and I say, God, I need you. And I can cry out in faith and know that he is a God who sees. Over 23, there are other names of God in Scripture that God gives to us. He gives to you to encourage you. To know that you are not alone. Over 2,300 times in the Old Testament, God's name is Elohim, which means strength. That he is a God of strength in your life. Other names that are given to us, just a few, to give you hope in your life. That he is a God of justice. He is a God of forgiveness. He is a God who is near. He's the God of my salvation, faithful God, God of knowledge, God of truth, God with us, the God of eternity, the God of heaven and earth, the Lord of peace, the Lord who makes us holy, the Lord our righteousness, just to name a few. So I ask you this morning, we all have to ask ourselves, where am I turning for hope? Where am I turning for hope? Am I turning to the Lord? God is right there in your life, and he is your hope. And I encourage you this morning, put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Grab on to the scarlet cord that God has thrown to us. Lastly this morning, just this other piece, okay? This other piece is that one of the things I think it's so awesome for us to be able to proclaim hope to the world as a church is because he is a God who does something really cool. He makes all things new. He makes all things new. So let me ask you this question. Think about your life for a moment up to this day. If you could, you know, make a movie reel in your head and think about your life up to this day. You know, the scripture enables me to be able to stand before you today and to say, to gladly say that this is not as good as it gets. This is not as good as it gets. I mean, if you're putting your faith in Christ, if you're believing and trusting in him, if you're grabbing onto that scarlet cord, we find a verse like in Revelation 21:5 that says, "He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write these words down, for they are trustworthy and true." Now God is going to do this regardless, because that's what he said he's going to do. But for those of us who have come to Christ, and by faith we're trusting in him as Lord and Savior, we're going to get to be a part of this in a really special way. And that's why I can say the Word of God says to us, it's not as good as it gets right now. This is not as good as it gets. When a person puts their faith in Christ as Lord and Savior through this work of regeneration, the Bible calls it, through this new birth, God gives us new life to the person in Christ. And if you read, like in Romans 6, it says that God literally unites you to Christ. You are united to Christ in his death and his resurrection. And so God has given us promises that he's not going to renege on. He's given us things that he's going to do. And so I want to look at some of these things, because God is going to make things new. If you look at in the book of Romans in chapter 8, verses 18 through 22, let me just read this here. "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time." So this passage, real quick, just kind of stay with me real quick. This passage is like, it's like a description from God's perspective in heaven. It's saying to us that God is going to do something really amazing in the future when Christ returns. And it's meant to give us hope. First of all, this passage is telling us what we already know, that creation is messed up. The creation itself has been affected by the fall. And there is a day, someday, when Christ is coming back, and God is going to make all things new again. He's going to make all things new again. Verse 21 says that the creation itself will be liberated. It will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. So right now, creation itself around us, it's under the effects of the fall and sin that we can read back in Genesis chapter 3. But not only is God going to restore creation, but he's going to restore all of those who have trusted in Christ. He's going to restore all those who trust in Christ. Look at verse 23 and 24. "Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit," that's like a down payment, okay? That's what that means. "Groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we were saved." But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? God's plan of hope is to say to us that this life is not as good as it gets. Someday God will make all those who have trusted in Christ new and perfect, and it's because Christ rose from the dead. It's because Jesus Christ, because the grave couldn't hold him down. And because when he rose again, the Bible says, to a resurrected body, to a perfect body. And so because if you're trusting Christ, you've been united with him in Christ. And so God is going to do the same thing. It's the same hope that you have in Christ. That's what the Bible tells to us, right? So if you've got aches and you got pains this morning, right, as we all get a little bit older, all right, you put your hope. Our hope is in this, because this is what God has said is true. And so lastly, I just want to say, as we kind of wrap things up here in a little bit, here's one of the key differences between the way God describes hope and the way the world describes hope. And we know that, like, when we say in the world, we're like, I hope this happens. You know, I hope that I get to go to the baseball game, or I hope that, you know, I get to go out on Friday night, or, you know, I hope the loan comes through, you know. We have this hope. It's sort of it's a longing that we have, but there's no sense of expectation. There's no confidence. But that's not the way God defines hope. Because when you look at in the New Testament and you see this word for hope, it's elpis in the Greek. It's the word elpis. And basically it means that you can have a confident expectation in the future. It's not just, I kind of hope it happens, but it's you have a confident expectation in the future, because even though you haven't already received it, you have it. Even though you haven't already received it, you have it. We find this idea expressed in Hebrews chapter 6. I just wanted to show it to you. Hebrews chapter 6, I think this is where we see this fleshed out, verses 9 through 12. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany your salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help him. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience, now look at this, inherit what has been promised. Look at those words, confident. Through faith and patience, inherit what has been promised. God is going to do these things. He's going to do these things. Because he is a God who never changes. He's a God who does not lie. He's a God who is faithful. He is a God who loves. And he looks at all of our mess and our brokenness, and he says, I'm going to make it new. And I have thrown out a scarlet cord of hope for you. If you will trust in my name, if you will believe, and if you will trust. And so this morning, I just encourage you, just as you look at that rope, remember this tikva. Remember this cord of hope that goes all the way back to the days of the Old Testament, that God has thrown us a lifeline in Christ. Amen, church? He's thrown us a lifeline. He's thrown a lifeline of hope to the world, a certain hope that the power of God can heal and change your broken heart, and he can give you life. When I'm dead in my spirit towards God, he changes it, and he opens it, and he makes it new, and he does a new work in us. And guys, he's done it in my life. I'm far from perfect, but I'm so thankful, and I've seen him do it in my life. And I just want to close this morning by showing you this video. I'm 40 years old, a little bit younger than Jim Knowlton was. And, you know, so if you ask me what's in my iPod, or that's not my iPod, it's on my iPhone for music, just different things. And so this is one of the songs that I have. And I want to share it with you because it speaks to this subject that God is in the business of hope, and he's in the business of making all things new. And he's done it through Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you that no matter what's going on in your life right now, to put your hope in God. Put your hope in Jesus and grab on and by faith walk with him and let God do the things that he wants to do in your life. So be encouraged. Watch this with me real quick.